Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our president and our vice president. We thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned. This is their heritage as a servant of the Lord. Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned. Father, we thank you that you cause their enemies that rise up against them to be defeated before their faith. They come out against them one way and flee before them seven ways. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always with them to teach them and guide them and show them the true way to honor you, honor the country, and honor freedom. Father, we thank you for your angels that surround them, causing their enemies to be confused, causing their enemies to be defeated, holding them up in their hands lest they dash their foot against a stone. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that every member of the House of Representatives and every member of Congress would see the light and turn to you and cause them to lead this country in the paths of righteousness and light. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over all of our emergency personnel as they go out there and fight these fires. Father, we ask for rain on the fires. Father, we ask for a lack of rain in the hurricane areas. We ask a lot, Father, but most importantly, we ask that your peace and your guidance would rest on this country and cause the church to come together in the unity of the faith so that we can operate in your kingdom the way you designed us to, honoring the full fivefold ministry and the church getting up, taking up their cross and going into the mission field, which is everywhere they set their foot. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You do. Yeah.
I just want to say thanks to each and every one of you. But praise God.
Well, praise God. He does have more for you. With a long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Salvation is a wonderful word. It's not born again, by the way. That's part of it. But salvation is everything a man needs. You know, you got to understand that the Jewish language is a picture language. And when God started talking this to the Jewish people, he said, I'm going to send salvation to you. They got a great big picture in their mind of what salvation was. And it takes us something like 28 or 29 words in English to describe that one picture they got, that one word salvation, and it's everything. It's Jesus. You know, it's all wrapped up in him. When you seek the blesser, the blessing is going to overtake you. Amen? Amen. Do we have any more prayer requests or praise reports? You do. Yeah.
You know, one thing that came out when Michael was really, really ill, he was in a coma for 10 days. They took out his stomach, and he had lots of surgery. But during this, one of our dear friends, who is an atheist, was an atheist, called me one night, and Michael had been really, really bad. And he called me one night, and he was crying, and he said, I've never felt on my knees before. And he's been reading all the blogs that everybody was sending out. And through Mike's
Praise God.
That was God working.
Yeah.
And we say, why does this happen? But now we know why it happened, because one person was saved.
Yeah.
Through whatever.
You bet. You bet. God can use the challenges that we run into to His glory. Understand this, God does not cause your challenges, but He can turn your challenges to good, to the glory of God. Amen? And yeah.
Praise God that I'm healthy and I wake up with my hand, my eyes, everything works for me. I'm just so blessed.
Praise God. Praise God. The goodness of God is so wonderful. And by the way, that's what causes men to repent. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. When people see how good God is, even atheists, they look at that and they say, wow, I like that. I've never seen God do something before, but I've seen that. I want that. Amen? That's why the church, our job is to go out there into our communities and not corner people and whip them into submission, but go out there and show the people the goodness of God. Amen? You know, there's lots of people we can pray for, help, feed, clothe, you know, and certainly we witness to people as we go about our day, you know, but people are watching you. They're watching you. They want to see you do something. They require a sign. That's how God gets into their world, through their five natural senses. What they see, hear, smell, touch, taste. Because they can't be led by the Spirit until they get born again. Amen? You, on the other hand, are to be led by the Spirit so you don't get fleeced. Okay. All right. Do we have any more? All right. This is the elements, and we'll have communion. Yeah, I got one. Paul said, the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. And they said, if you take this unworthily, you bring damnation upon yourself. I thought they were talking about, man, if I made a mistake and sinned, if I took it without asking God to forgive me, I'd be bringing damnation to myself. So I was on my knees every time they started passing the communion around. Pretty soon I had such a sin conscience that I didn't want nothing to do with the communion. Then I got a revelation of the truth and what Jesus did. To discern the body of Christ, we're going to have to look at the type and shadow of that body. God gave us particular directions on how to make this bread. This is matzo bread, by the way. This is what He told us to take communion with. Not little plastic rice wafers. Matzo bread. This typifies the body of Christ. And if you look at this, this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is certainly sinless. He never made a mistake one time. So we can see our Lord and Savior as sinless. And this bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread also has stripes in it. You can see in this, there's stripes in this bread. And it's by His stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus certainly, when He was on the cross, they thrust a spear into his side, and he was pierced there, but he was pierced so many more times than that. If you ever get a chance, look up. There could be some former Catholics in here, but look up the Stations of the Cross that they talk about. And look at the Stations of the Cross. And go in there and thank Jesus. Everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption. Don't pray to Mary, but look at what he did at each one of those stations where he shed his blood. You got redemption in that area. Praise God. And this bread is slightly burned. When Jesus was on that cross, every single sin was laid on him. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him. He took it all. The judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took all of it on his cross. So that we could take his place at the right hand of God. Amen. Certainly when you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God. And you're in the family, and you are seated in Christ at the right hand of God. Amen? Then you're part of the body of Christ. And his body was broken. So we're taking this for our healing. We're taking this for our well-being. We can get it gradually, or we can get it all at once. But to the glory of God, we're going to get it because of the work of Jesus. Amen? Jesus shed his blood all over the place. Not only does it wash us, make us white as wool, it took away our sins as far as the east is from the west. All of them. We have protection in the blood, deliverance in the blood of Jesus. And it's his blood that we go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive help from our Father in times of need. And his blood made us the righteousness of God and justified us freely by his grace, so we can stand in the presence of the Father as though nothing ever happened, because as far as he's concerned, nothing but the blood matters. Amen? Well, praise God. Praise God. It's fun to take communion now, isn't it? Continue on with our study of the 16 things that Jesus did on his cross when he said, "It is finished." Are you ready? Okay, you can go. Open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And this study today, you know, this is the 16th thing. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And we found out that there's 16 things that actually happened right there at that point in time when he said, "It is finished." And I thought I would find out what the number 16 was significant, why that was, if there was some significance to that in the Bible, because God never does anything by accident. And we found out that number 16 is significant of his love, in an expression of his love. Certainly when Jesus was on his cross, that was one of the greatest expressions of love that God ever showed to mankind. Amen. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you that we can always count on him to bring revelation to our hearts so we can get a rhema word of what you want us to know. Truly, the more we learn of Jesus, the freer we are as people, so we can stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that happened, the number 16 thing that we're talking about, is the blocking out of the old covenant and making and sealing of the new covenant. Today it's going to take us just a little bit longer, but there is so much confusion in the church world over this one subject. Now, we got New Testament Christians running around that are convinced that to somehow keep the law in order to be good enough to receive blessings from God. We have New Testament people running around thinking that they can somehow do the law in order to get to heaven. The best thing you can remember is when Jesus was on his cross, there was another fellow by his side. There was one on each side of him. One of them was railing accusations at him, but the other one looked over at him and he said, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "This day you'll be in paradise with me." So the way to heaven hadn't been prepared yet. You know, nobody could go to heaven before Jesus went there and purified the Holy Holies. So this guy made it to paradise. He did the only thing that he could do. He called on Jesus. He called on God and said, "Have mercy on me." You know that man never read the Bible? He never did any of the things that a lot of people say that you must do. The church world is full of this one thing. They go out, get somebody born again, and they convince them they're born again, they're saved by grace. And you are saved by grace. Leave it at that. Too often they say, "But now there's these five things that you got to do." No, you're saved by grace. Now take these other five or ten things and let them supplement your life so you can walk in a more revelation of Christ than what you had before. Amen? Let me look at Revelation chapter 3 real quick with you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. This is Jesus talking here. And he's talking to the different churches. But here's a curious one. That confuses a lot of people. And it gets pretty strong. But verse 14 says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I had, for a while, the misunderstanding that because I wasn't on fire and out there doing all these different things in the mission field, doing this and doing that, and getting this done and getting that done, that somehow Jesus might spew me out of my, kick me out. See, the Bible has to rhyme from beginning to end. You get born again, you didn't get born again by your good efforts. Amen? You got born again because of the blood of Jesus. What he's talking about here is just like in the church of the Galatians, they got born again, they got saved by the Spirit, and then they started off in the Spirit. They started off on the right foot. But then they picked up the law. See, they started off, they were red hot for Christ. And then they picked up the law, and Paul said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You started off by the Spirit, and now you think you're going to carry it on by the law?" They became lukewarm. See, if somebody's all the way under the law, they're cold towards Christ. God can work with that. He can. Because the law was designed to bring the man to the end of himself to see his need for a Savior. If you're all the way on fire, you understand that it's by the blood of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus alone that you're saved. Amen? He can work with that. You're red hot for Christ. You're not going to be picking up the law. But what happens, the church calls it balance. It's kind of like Democrats call them progressive. Calling socialism progressivism. It's just junk. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb. They'll tell you you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but then here's these 10 things that you must do in order to maintain your salvation. Are you saved by the blood of Jesus and His grace or not? Okay. Now, some of these other things that they talk about are good things that are going to nurture you. But did you know that you can go to heaven without getting water baptized? Yes. It's by the blood of Jesus that you're saved. It's not your obedience. It's not in something that you do. It's in Him. Praise God. Did you know that you can go to heaven without ever taking communion? Did you know that you can go to heaven without getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that you can go to heaven without reading the Bible? I know that's a shocker to some people, but we actually had a guy go to church here that was born again and could not read. But he believed in his heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and he confessed Jesus to be the Lord of his life. Is that not what it takes to be born again? Praise God. All right. So let's carry on here. Go up here to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus. Amen. We know that we're saved. He's not going to kick us out of the family if we make a mistake. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was the law. He blotted that out. It was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man. I have actually had Christian tell me that I should not eat crawdads, I should not eat catfish, and I should not eat pig meat. And I just look at them and I tell them I eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path, and if you can wrap it in bacon, that's even better. Amen. Now, Paul just sat there and said, don't let any man judge you that. Why don't you keep the Sabbath? Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. He is my Sabbath. My rest is in Him. Amen? If I get my rest on a Tuesday, what's that to you? You should have a day off for rest. Amen? That's for your own good. But don't let no man judge you of that. Amen? Why don't you have a Christmas Eve service? Because I'm sleeping. Does that make sense to you? I like to go to bed when it gets dark. Don't let no man judge you of these things. You are free in Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In the old covenant, the Jews had access to God in a degree. And we were strangers to the covenants of promise. After Jesus came here and took care of that, he broke down the middle wall of partition and made one, and one way to the Father. And it's through him. Jews, Gentiles go through Jesus to get to the Father now. Amen? A man must be born again. That was, Jesus said that. A man must be born again. And Paul wrote out directions for us on how to do that in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. But he went on through. There's a peculiar thing here. In verse 17, he said, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were not. That's the gospel of peace. You know, people that are not born again feel like they're a million miles away from God. And even sometimes people that are born again wonder if God even hears them. How many have ever been in those shoes? Be honest. There should be every single hand in the air. I remember praying. I spent a lot of time driving truck, and I'd be out there in the middle of the night, and nobody would be around. I'd pray, and it's like trying to get my voice to reach out to the stars. And then I found out that God is on the inside of me. My prayers got suddenly quiet, more peaceful. When you learn the gospel of peace, it's going to cause peace to reign in your heart. Amen? That's the good news. Now go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. We want to make sure that we don't ever mix the law with grace, because it doesn't mix. Amen? It's like trying to mix fire and ice. It's not gonna make nothing but a mess. You're saved by grace. You're not gonna be able to perform in such a way that you could ever be at a higher degree of righteousness than what you were when you got born again. And that's what it boils down to, is right standing with God. When you get born again, the blood of Jesus gets applied to your life, and you are put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did on his cross. Amen? None of your efforts. Just out of curiosity, is there anything that you could ever do that could possibly be more powerful than the blood of Jesus? No? Okay, this stop all the nonsense and walk in grace. Amen. Let's just stay in grace. Amen. And learn of Jesus and learn of these things and learn how to do these things and learn from Him. And watch how much freer you get in Christ. Amen. You can get so free to the point where you're an annoyance to the religious folks around. That's possible. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of the remission of sins." See, we just took communion and we took of that blood. We partook of that. We discerned the body and we discerned the blood. Amen. But His blood was for the remission of sins. In the Old Testament, when you made a mistake and you had to go to the high priest with your sacrifice, and you'd get an atonement. That was a covering. But they had to do that. That had to be renewed like your auto insurance. All the time. It had to be renewed. Had to just keep getting it more and more and more. So they had to have more animal sacrifices. More animal sacrifices. But Jesus, the one perfect sacrifice, when His blood was applied to your life, He remitted your sins. And here's the type and shadow of that now. Have you ever heard of the scapegoat? You know where that came from? From that Old Testament sacrifice. They'd take two goats. And they would sacrifice one. And they'd take his blood, which signified the sins of that man, and place it on that other goat's head. And they took that goat east to never be seen again. That's why your sins have been taken away from you as far as the east is from the west. I don't know if you know this, but if you head north and keep going north, pretty soon you're going to hit the North Pole. I don't care how talented you are, your very next step is going to be south. Make those steps fast so you can get warm again. But if you head east, you can go east for an eternity. That's what God did to your sins. He took them completely away. Amen. He doesn't remember them. He doesn't want you to remember them either. Learn from them. Learn from them. But don't dwell on them. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament." That'd be you. You're an able minister of the New Testament. If you've been wondering what your job is, what God's will for your life is, here it is. You're an able minister. You really can testify to the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Amen? Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the law. We're not going to be telling people about the law. We're going to be telling people about the grace of God. Amen? But of the Spirit. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul called the law the ministry of death. That's it. Paul's description of the law is the ministry of death. It breeds condemnation in man. You know, God had those Ten Commandments wrote in stone, given to Moses. And then He had him put them in the Ark of the Covenant. out of the sight of the people. And then the Christians, in all their wisdom, plastered them on every church building in the country. And they have lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, trying to get them on every courthouse lawn they can. Do this. Find 10 things that Jesus did by grace and put them on them courthouse lawns. Put them on the churches, on the church walls. But put the 10 commandments back in the ark and leave them there. Amen? God put those out of the sight of the people because he didn't want them to have a sin conscience. That would be a constant reminder of the things they can't do. Amen? He put the pot of manna in that ark too. Because they rebelled over his provision. And he put Aaron's rod in there that budded. Because they rebelled against his priesthood. He didn't want them to dwell on that. He doesn't want you to dwell on your past mistakes. He wants you to be convinced that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he wants you to walk in that freedom. When you receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, you're going to rule and reign in this life with one Christ Jesus. That means you're going to have the confidence to defeat sin in your life. Amen? Now, let's go to... Man, I chased a rabbit. Okay, get back here to verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, get a hold of this, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in the respect by reason of the glory that excelled. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remained is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Old Testament won't open anybody's heart. It won't open anybody's eye. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. That's cool stuff. The law is a fading thing. It faded away. Jesus blotted it out. He got rid of that thing so that the grace of God could shine in people's hearts. When people see the goodness of God, it'll turn them to God. How many of you have seen the same person do the same thing over and over and over again, and you went up there to him and said, don't do that. Don't do that. And they did it anyway. But we could do it like Paul did. Paul went to a church that was completely out of control. They called it the Corinthian church. And these guys were doing some horrendous things. But he said, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. He didn't beat them up with the law. He fed them the grace of God. The goodness of God will turn people around. Amen? Remind people who they are. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reminds you that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When people realize that they're in right standing with God, they're not failures, that in God's eyes they've been made perfect, they'll start doing the things that they wanted to do in the first place, but they were trying to do it by their own flesh and not by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's why we tell people to walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's one of those verses that gets... This drove home to me backwards so many times when I used to be the town drunk, man. I really did. I wasn't always a preacher. But look, these little ladies would come up to me and they'd say, "You need to quit drinking and quit smoking and quit running around and quit carousing and being wild. And then you need to marry some young girl and go to church." I said, "Lady, you know how many times I tried that? I quit drinking every morning." What they needed to tell me was, "Look, son, you need to come to church and let God fix things in your heart so that all this other stuff will go away." Yeah. That's the correct way to operate that verse. No man can clean himself up good enough to go to the presence of God. And God never tells you to do that. He just tells you to come to Him and He'll clean you up. Amen? Okay. We better go to Galatians chapter 3. If you get bored, let me know and I'll stop. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men." By the way, before I go on, read verse 29. "And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and theirs according to the promise." Too many times people get confused and they think these promises are for the Jews only, but you know, the very fact that when you became a Christian, you became Abraham's seed. Did you know that? You didn't become a Jew. What happened? Well, you became Abraham's seed because he received his righteousness by faith. That's how we do it. We receive our righteousness by faith. How do you do that? By believing what Jesus did for you on that cross. Amen? Okay. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. "Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law." I'm outrunning myself. Sorry about that. I get a little excited. "Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law." This is important. There's schizophrenic Christianity in this world. And what I mean by that is that sometimes there's Christians running around saying that God blesses me sometimes and sometimes He curses me. They really do. I had a preacher tell me one time, said, "God gave me a curse. God gave me a stroke to turn me into a preacher." And I thought, wait a minute. But they really do. They think that if they make a mistake, that the curse is going to get on them, that there's going to be some kind of bad thing happen to them. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Under the law, you had to perform all these things exactly the way God told you to do them, to perform the law, or that curse could come on you. But because Jesus got on the cross and died a cursed death, he redeemed you from that. And Jesus does not belong to the Aaronic priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood takes. Jesus came from the order of Melchizedek, which only blesses. He's your blesser. Amen? Now don't get carried away chasing the blessing. Chase the blesser. Just go to the blesser. Your lives are hid in him. And everything that you need and want is wrapped up in him. Amen? Go to the cross. Everything that you may need and want has been met at the cross. Amen? That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. Everything that you need and want is wrapped up in him. Amen? Okay. Are you there? Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by a promise, which things are in a ledger. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gingers to bondage, which is Hagar. That's the law. You know, the children of Israel were in a covenant of grace until they got to Mount Sinai. Did you know that? They were in a covenant of grace until they got to Mount Sinai because of Abraham. They were Abraham's seed. And they whined and moaned and mumbled and grumbled and did everything wrong. But God fed them. He gave them water. He gave them shade. He gave them a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm. He had shade during the day. They were walking through the desert and griping and moaning. And God was taking care of them because they were in a covenant of grace because of Abraham. Then they got to Mount Sinai and they said, God, you just go ahead and tell us what we need to do in order to be righteous before you. We're able to do that. So he gave them the Ten Commandments. Before they even got a chance to read them, they had a golden calf made. You see that? You cannot keep the law. You can't. Just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursed through your veins means that you have need for Jesus to be your Savior. Amen? Okay. Well, I'll give you two more. Well, I'll hurry. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. That therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. I'll give you a clue there. For under it the people received the law. What further need would there be that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For if he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, out of the tribe of Moses, spoke nothing concerning that priesthood. Jesus is from the order of Melchizedek. And he's our high priest right now at the right hand of God, making intercession for you, the saints. Praise God. And he's alive to make sure that his will gets performed on your behalf. Amen. Just like people leave wills for people, there is somebody that watches over that will, usually a lawyer or somebody, or maybe a relative that makes sure that everybody gets their portion. We got Jesus. making sure you get your portion. All he needs is a little cooperation from you. How do you do that? Well, be like Mary. If it be your will. Lord, if you just got to bless somebody, here I am. You can bless me. I'll receive it. I know I'm not talented enough to earn it. I'll just go ahead and receive it from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We do an altar call because these tapes go all over the place. They're in Southeast Asia, and they're going all over the place. But we record these, and it goes on our website and on Facebook. So we don't ever know who's listening. There could be somebody watching that needs to be born again. So we're going to give people an opportunity to be born again. It's simple. Now, what we do when you believe that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. So we bow our heads out of reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbors, and you just say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. There could be somebody who needs born again, and it's personal between them and God. Say this out of your mouth. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised you back to life. I ask you to come into my heart. Make me new. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. This day I confess that you, Lord Jesus, are my Lord. And if you said that, then I encourage you to get plugged into a church body, a Bible-believing church body, where you can learn and be fed. You can contact us. Do whatever you got to do. Get a hold of a Bible. And keep learning. Keep learning of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And if you don't notice, we do things a little bit differently here.